future of that child, we're thinking our minds are running. This is going to be the President of the United States. This is going to be the next Wayne Gretzky. This is going to be the hero. This is going to be the. This is going to be a Patton. This is going to be a MacArthur. This is going to be a hero. I thought about this last night. About 2 o'clock in the morning, I asked God. And the words that were given to me were these. I won't raise a hero. I will raise a son in Christ. And I will treat Wasey like a son in Christ. Then he'll turn out to be a hero in Christ.
Right. Why don't we stand up? Can we hold hands? Can we do that? Hold my hand there, Sheba and Stanley. I'm just going to ask you a question. And you've already said it. You know, this is all just more of a formality. I appreciate what you said. It speaks of your faith. It speaks of your love for God's word and your, you know, how important it is to be a father and a mother and, you know, just people of God. But the question I see here, to love and to fear and to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen. Yes. A nod won't do, okay? She's a woman of few words if you don't know her. Let's pray together, okay? Let's just join our hearts. God, thank you. Thank you for your love, Jesus. Thank you that we're part of a family. Thank you that we witnessed today again just the grace of God. And the power of God and life. You're the God of life. You're the one who says that we should choose it. So we do today. We choose life. And today we dedicate Wasey to you. And Lord, we're well aware that we're not telling you anything that you don't already know. You know Wasey. You've known him even before he was born, even when he was in his mother's womb. You created him. You made him fearfully and wonderfully. So we thank you, God. We're just acknowledging what is. And that is that this is a son who belongs to you. And we ask, Lord, that you'll set him apart to serve you and to love you and to be a mighty man of God, Lord. We pray for Stanley and for Bathsheba. And we thank you for these three brothers and sisters and for this family, God. We pray special strength and wisdom and patience for Mal and for Earl. And Lord, we hold them up as church family because we have a stake in this, God. We have a stake in this. These are part of us. This is part of the body. And we take this seriously, God. We promise together, God, to represent you and to just to be good examples to these children in everything that we do as well. We know, Lord, that these are children who are precious in your sight, and we just dedicate them. We commit them to you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Look at that, eh? You guys are blessed. Oops. I love you guys. God bless you. Whew, thank you, Lord. Michaela, you going to say a few words this morning? Do you need a hand, or you want to do it from down here or up there? You're good? Okay. Next. Do you want to come up? I'll help you. I can help. I think I can help. We're going to make sure we can. I'm going to give you this, okay? It's really important. We want to hear everything that God has to say.
The first thing that we do as ASP, I know that most of you think that that means that my speech will be as quick as possible, but ASP has always stands for Always Say a Prayer. So I hope that you'll say a prayer with me. And my prayer today is, Lord God, help me to say my words, and may I touch somebody. I know that these are your words, not mine. Lord God, bless all the fathers today. Give them your wisdom, and teach them that you are the Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord God, that I'm able to give my testimony to these wonderful people. Thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, forgive me for not standing. I have multiple sclerosis. And for the people that don't understand multiple sclerosis, my body attacks itself. And it attacks the myelin sheath. And for the people in layman's terms, that means that it's like this electrical cord. If you take off the outer coating, it has trouble getting the electricity where it has to go. So forgive me for not standing. I always wasn't this happy to have multiple sclerosis, trust me. I don't understand multiple sclerosis, but God does. In a nutshell, I'm going to tell you my life wasn't easy. My life was never easy. It starts in Russia. There was a test bomb that was dropped. And my mother was killed. A soldier took me in his arms. I was in an orphanage and brought to Canada. When I came to Canada, I was renamed. Please don't ever use my name that was given to me. When I turned 18, I changed my name legally back to Michaela. Michaela, I was named after Gorbachev, because his mother is really super saintly, and she was a Proverbs 30 woman all the way. And for you that sometimes will pick up the Bible and read Proverbs 30, she was that, all of that, and I wish I was that. Sometimes I'm not, and sometimes I am. And anyway, in a nutshell, came over to Canada, and when I was in Canada, they found my father was remarried or living common law with my stepmother. My stepmother was very evil. Cinderella's stepmother Cinderella's stepmother basically would be a saint compared to my stepmother. I do everything I do now, except for I was about 4 years old. I had my whole life mapped out for me. Back to the nutshell, I'm sorry that I'm not all together here. Some of us are never all together. And anyway, my stepbrother sexually abused me. My stepmother, she beat me all the time. I broke that one. She went to go hit me with the broom one day. I broke that broom in so many pieces that it was never going to be glued together again. I hit the streets,
And I'll tell you, the streets were no fun. I was a street rat. I learned how to survive on the streets. Forgive me for a second. Windmills need water. Anyway, I'll get her later. Basically, when I hit the streets, there was no soup kitchen. There was no Gertie. There was no soup kitchens. There was no food banks. And I tell you, you slept in a dryer. You put a quarter in a dryer and basically slept in a dryer at the laundromat. Sometimes you slept in a dumpster. And sometimes it was a good dumpster because if they threw good food in there, or was what you call would consider a throwaway, basically you ate what around the rotten part of the apple and everything, and basically it was not easy. I was living day by day, and that wasn't good enough. So my MS bottle. I was sold into the sex trade. I did to survive. I did drugs, and it's not easy because you have to basically let your mind and body separate. Your mind would be in Toledo and your body would be there. And basically, it wasn't. I was a teenage mom at 14. And I had twins. As happy as that sounds, my son, Ethan, was 3 years old. A drunk driver ran over him and killed him. And that was Christmas Day. Or that was December 24th, December 22nd. He passed away on Christmas Day. And new meaning to Boxing Day was his funeral. I was only 17. I was devastated. How could a God be so loving and take away my son? I didn't want anything to do with this God. You know, it's hard enough to be a teenage mom without hating God. And I hated God. I really did. My daughter that was a twin to my son had a hard time. She wanted to, we lived in Calgary by Crowshaw Trail, and every day she'd run out on the Crowshaw Trail and say, I want to go to heaven. I want to be how far is heaven? I want to be with Ethan. And that in a mother's heart is very hard. I was raped again at 18. At 19, on my birthday, I had my second child. I was devastated. I put myself through doing a lot of scuzz bucket jobs. I mean, scuzz bucket jobs by working A&W, working as chambermaid, dishwasher. I put myself through school. I was very proud of myself. My greatest accomplishments are my daughters. I put myself through school to be a nurse. I was very happy. The happiest I was when I worked in ER. I was helping men, broken people. Sometimes it was mentally, physically, spiritually. I was healing people. And I tell you, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. I was so happy being a nurse. Then I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. My life was over. I was so devastated. I ended up in Unit 34. And for people that don't know what Unit 34, that's psych ward. That's almost, Unit 36 is the very severe case of depression. And I was one step away from that. I knew enough about drugs because I was a nurse. I knew all the drugs that could basically kill you in a heartbeat. And I basically had to be on Unit 34 to get rewired. I learned when I was in Unit 34, I learned that not to call this a disease, because it was easier to manage if I called it an illness. I learned to ask. I learned, basically, forgive me, I need my hands to talk. Lead me, guide me, protect me, give me strength, put a lot of good people in my path, give me strength. And this is my medical hand. They helped me out. And I learned how to deal with this illness. It wasn't easy. I was springing my step, smile on my face, but that was short-lived. I was quite smitten with a man a couple of years ago, and he was being a Christian isn't easy. It takes work. I tell you that. Being a Christian is like a water knife. You know, the difference between the two, they're pew warmers. The people there, they'll give 6 days to themselves, Mondays to Jesus. Don't throw away your brains when you become a Christian. I tell you, my challenge today for you, even though I hope that I touch some people, and I practice this speech long and hard, and sometimes I probably missed a lot of things. Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it's happened, Dr. Seuss. And I tell you, through this illness, God doesn't heal everybody. Trust me. I mean, I've met a lot of people, and they tell me I'm not healed because I didn't have faith or didn't pray hard enough. In my line of work, I've seen some pretty ugly stuff. I seen where one time where the parents were told they didn't pray hard enough, so they took the insulin away from this little child. The child had went into diabetic shock, en route to the hospital, died. A simple insulin insulin shot would have helped him. Or the woman that was pinned in between two vehicles the middle of a sandwich. Well, they said the family wouldn't let the ambulance people help her because they said that she didn't have enough faith. And then by faith, if she had enough faith, God would take her from the wreckage. She died in that wreckage. She died because they wouldn't let her help. Those are dangerous people. Don't listen to them. My challenge today is this altar is here. You don't have to carry the burdens anymore. So this is a safe place. Really, it is a safe place. And give yourself to Jesus right now. And if you're not sure and you're angry at Jesus, just remember, anger is like a hot coal. Your intent to throw it at somebody, but you're the one that gets burned. So come to the altar here. You don't have to carry these burdens anymore. I'm gonna trade these ashes in for beauty. I hope that you'll join me. Amen.
Amen.
Awesome. Can we pray for you? No, yes. Gertie, would you come up and pray? I think that's a great testimony. It's a great story. It's a hard story. It's good to hear, though, that God's in control of your life, Michaela. And the relationship you have with Jesus is strong.
And I know how much God loves you. And I've seen you minister to people out of that amazing love. So, Father, I just thank you. We thank you for the life of Michaela.
Amen.
We thank you, God, that way, 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 way back you saw her. And you said, this is my beautiful daughter. I have plans for you, my girl. Father, thank you for bringing her to us. Thank you for the life that she has. And thank you for the life that she lives. Thank you for, Father, we lift her up to you. And we do pray for healing because that's you just say to do that. But I thank you, God, for her testimony of faith. Faith in walking through the difficulties of life. That's not easy. Father, bless Michaela with abundant life, abundant living, abundance of everything, Father. We bless her in the mighty, powerful name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now you got it.
Yeah. Here I will. Yeah. Praise God. Thank you. There was a couple of young people that talked to me a couple seconds ago. You guys want to come up here a minute? There's a concern about a few people who are missing, and I just, we need to pray about that. So we're not going to just pretend it's not happening, even if it's not convenient. It doesn't matter what our agenda is. So why don't you guys come up here a minute and tell us. Because we believe in prayer, you know what? We believe that God knows where your friends are, even if you don't know where they are. God knows where they are. So tell us who you are, first of all. Tiffany?
Taylor.
Taylor?
I'm Kyle.
And Kyle. Tiffany, Taylor, Kyle, you're among family here, okay? And we appreciate that you're here today. And, God knows where your friends are. So tell us what's happened.
One of her boyfriend that she loves very dearly, Darren Legrell. He is in CY for 2 years,
yep.
And we want to pray to keep him safe in there. And
okay.
hope that he gets well soon and that he's well. And our other friend, Duncan McGraw, last night has gone MIA.
Missing.
And we have not seen or heard anything from him.
Okay.
And then this guy's little brother.
Like my little brother, yep. Fort McMurray.
Yep.
He's like 14 years old.
Okay.
And I've been looking after him because his dad died.
Yep.
And his other best friend, he's paraplegic now. And I took him out here, and last night he went missing.
Okay.
And we still haven't been able to find
What's his name? What's your brother's name?
Nathan Gordy.
Nathan.
He's this tall.
Okay, and he's 14. He's way too young to be missing.
Yeah.
All right. Julie, you want to come and help me with this? So it's Darren, Duncan,
and Nathan.
And Nathan. We just got to pray to God.
Bless
all
you
we,
guys.
That's all we got. No, yeah, bless you guys.
Just know that we bless you. And we know that among young people, there's such an allegiance.
Yeah.
Your youthfulness, right. Your zeal, your desire to be together and to honor one another. So, Father, we just bless you right now. We just bless you for these young people, God. We bless you for their hearts, Lord. We bless you, Father, for their compassion and how they stick together, God. And so we just, for this 14-year-old little boy, Lord.
Yeah.
Father, that he should not be on the street. Mm-hmm. Father, we bless him. We ask that your angels would be round about him in the name of Jesus. Him, and Father, that you would work in these young people, God, that you would raise them up, Lord, that you would set them free.
Mm-hmm.
Father, that they would not have to go through what Michaela went through on the street, Lord. And that you would bless them. And so these three young people, Lord, who are missing today, their names again are?
Nathan, Duncan,
and Darren.
And Darren.
Nathan, Duncan, and Darren. So we bless them together as your family, God. Father, we ask also that you would continue to remind us throughout the day to pray for these young people that your will would be done and that your name, Jesus, would be exalted. So thank you for these young people today, God. Thank you for their love. Thank you for their compassion. Thank you for who they are. And thank you, Lord, for the wonderful things that you're going to do in each of their lives. And Lord, that you would bring the three back right now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Good. Yeah, they're going to be all right.
They're going to be all right.
Okay, girl. Okay, thank you, Lord. Right? I mean, God is a God of everywhere. He knows. God knows. And he says that he seeks the lost, right? And it's not just, I think that can be physical and it can be spiritual too. He's looking for those who are lost. He's looking for those who are wandering, those who are missing. He's a God of the missing. Amen? Thank you, God. Boy, I know there's a lot going on today. And we're going to get to the Word of God, but I really feel like, you know, it's still Father's Day, and we need to pray for the fathers, at least for the ones who want prayer. So I'm going to ask, actually, Lorraine, just come on up. And those of us who are fathers, or even if you're not a father, but you want prayer, whatever, stand up. Stand up with me as fathers, and Lorraine's going to pray. We need help. This is a hard thing to raise children. It's hard to be a husband. It's good to come to God and to pray to God. So, Lorraine, would you come up here and pray a blessing over the fathers here today? We ask God to give us wisdom. We need patience, right? We need understanding. We need discernment. Amen. Okay, we're going to commit this to God.
Oh, Father God, we thank you for these godly men. Father, help them to see how much influence they can have. Help them to see, God, that they can seek you with all of their hearts. And Father, they can cause blessings to come down upon their families, upon their extended family, upon the church, upon the nation. Father, I pray that they will be encouraged in their role as a father. Father, help them to set a good example. Help them to walk with you, to walk in faith, Lord. And God, help them to know that their efforts are not in vain, because you have promised to bless the generations of the righteous. And so, God, help them to make every effort to walk according to what they know is right and good. Help them not to be discouraged. Father, help them to watch over their wife and their families, Lord, just like you watch over us. And Father, to know, God, that they can leave a powerful heritage. and that even after they're gone from this life, their prayers will go on, their example will go on. And Father, that, Lord, down the generations, many thanks will be given for a godly father, a godly example. So, Lord, watch over each one of them. Give them wisdom, give them strength. And Lord, hold them close to your heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. All right. It's time to listen to our Father's word today. God is so good. We've been talking about, well, I guess just starting, we can go a long ways back, but we're not going to go too far back. Just the last week, we talked about the importance of repentance and how, you know, we need to be clean with God, that He's made a way for us through Jesus Christ, and that we need to recognize that He's a God who's willing to forgive us. Chris, do you mind just, if you want to turn that air conditioning off just for a little bit now, because it bothers me. Maybe it doesn't bother you guys, but I just wanted to be quiet. Just listen to what God has to say. And last week we came to the Lord's Supper. Last week we expressed our regret and our sorrow over the sins that we have done, and spent a little time just, you know, looking at our lives. And you know, and the more you look at your life, and if we actually take some time to examine our lives, every one of us recognizes that we fall short. Every one of us. And I was saying, you know, how that works in my life. Sometimes is you start looking at one thing, and you go, oh, well, that leads to pride, and oh, no, that leads to me judging people. Oh, that leads to a little bit of arrogance. And, you know, and suddenly when you start spending some time just quietly before God and recognizing, you know, how I slither away from Him and how much I need Him, and what a blessing it is when we come to God and we confess our sins and we know that He forgives us. Amen? Well, today we're going to move in a sort of the same direction, but on the other end, the flip side of the coin. Because not only do we need to come to God for forgiveness, but we also need to be ready to forgive people who have sinned against us. Right? And some of you are going, oh no, I didn't want to be here. I don't want to hear this. But it's part of the gospel message. It's part of, you know, it's part of that whole theme that we're talking about is, you know, why sometimes are our prayers not heard? Why sometimes is the healing not taking place? Well, there's a connection between forgiveness. We looked at that last week, and that we need to come to God for that cleansing in our lives. We need to come to God and be washed in the blood of Jesus. We also need to be prepared to give that forgiveness to other people as well. And that's the hard part. It's not that hard to get on our knees and to repent and ask God to clean us up. It is hard sometimes to forgive someone who's really wronged us or who's really hurt us. So that's, I guess that's fair warning. This is where we're going. I'm going to start with there's a lot of passages. I'm not going to probably hit them all today, but we're going to really preach the word today. I know you're going, well, that's what we should be doing. But starting with Matthew. I'm just going to read a story in Matthew about forgiveness. Matthew 19. If you have your Bibles today, just keep them open. Matthew 18. It's a great parable that Jesus tells. We're going to start reading verse 23. Matthew 18, verse 23. Again, on that theme of forgiveness, Jesus tells this story. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And as he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents, which was like $1,000, was brought to him. And since he was not able to pay, 10,000 talents was like $10 million, sorry. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, which is like pocket change. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and he begged him, be patient with me and I will pay you back. Notice he says exactly the same words. Exactly the same words. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and told their master everything that had happened. And when the master called the servant in, he said, "You wicked servant, I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?" In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured, or another word for that is tormented. He turned him over to the jailers to be tormented until he should pay back all that he owed. And that begs the question, how's that ever going to happen? How are you ever going to pay back millions of dollars when you're in jail? He turned him over to the jailers to be tormented. And then Jesus says this, "This is how my heavenly Father will treat you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." And now for Mark 11. Mark 11, verse 20, where Jesus, we read that in the morning, Jesus and his disciples, as they went along, Mark 11, verse 20, they saw a fig tree that was withered from the roots. Peter remembered, and he said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered." "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go and throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins." You say amen? That word "and" can also be translated "but," and I think in this instance it should be translated "but," that it's connected, the asking God for whatever in Jesus' name, and he says you'll have the faith, you can move mountains. This word should be "but," because it's connected to, and we need to see this today, there's a real strong connection to forgiveness and to releasing people from the debt that they have to us because they've sinned against us. And so if we read it that way, it's really like this. "Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours, but when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." We need to be forgivers. And it's a hard lesson. It's a hard thing to do because, and you know, all of us, I think every one of us, we could spend all week talking about our stories and our hurts and how we've been a victim to somebody. Every one of us, you know, has to deal with that or has dealt with that in our lives, that there's someone who has grieved us, who has hurt us, and that there's a tendency in our lives to nurse a grudge and to keep that grudge going, sometimes for years and sometimes for decades, over what someone has done to us. It's hard to forgive. It's hard to let someone go and say, "Okay, I forgive you. I grant you that grace that I forgive you in Jesus' name. And I'm not going to hold it over you anymore. I'm not going to hold it over you anymore." We talked last week about how important it is that we come to our Heavenly Father and we confess our sins and we come clean with Him. And that when we don't do that, our line of communication with Him gets cut off. If you're not clean, if you're not standing righteously under the blood of Jesus, if your sins are not forgiven, you don't have that line of communication. You're not able to really approach boldly the throne of grace because there's still sin in your life that is unconfessed. And it's until that sin gets confessed, that's when the power really starts to move in our Christian lives. And we're not really free. We're not really free until we've confessed those sins to Jesus. But it's just as true when it comes to the person you're sitting next to. That if you don't forgive the person next to you, you aren't free. You're not really free. Or the person who's not next to you, that person who was in your life 10 years ago or 20 years ago. You're really not free, and it has an effect. It has an effect on your walk with God and on your communication with God. As a matter of fact, it affects even how God hears our prayers and how God responds. It's almost as if, when you read Mark, it's almost as if that lack of forgiveness in our lives somehow stops God's ears. So he doesn't really, you know, that lack of forgiveness is a hindrance. Let's put it that way. It's a hindrance. And then we ask God for things. We say, God, I need you to heal this cancer, and I need you to do this with my child, and I need you to give me this job. And, you know, we have all kinds of requests of God. But when there's unforgiveness in our lives, and we're not forgiving someone who sinned against us, the Bible says, you know, that God doesn't hear it. He doesn't hear it until we come with that kind of a pure heart, a heart that has forgiven and has granted grace to other people. He says, ask. It's in that context. Ask whatever in my name. Absolutely. And when you do, believe it in faith. But if you've got a grudge against somebody, but if there's somebody that you're still angry with and you're not forgiving and you just wish they would go to hell, then your sins are not forgiven either. And your Heavenly Father doesn't hear the request of your heart. Why is it such a big deal? Why is it a big deal that we forgive? Why is it a big deal that we give grace to people who don't deserve it at all? And they don't, let's be honest, right? At least a lot of times they don't. Sometimes they don't even ask to be forgiven. Do I have to forgive someone who doesn't ask me to be forgiven? The answer is yes, right? Because there's a two-way relationship here. It's my relationship with Frida. She sinned against me. I can use an example because everyone knows that never happened, right? There's two things happen. It's our relationship with each other, and it's Frida's relationship with God, right? I need to forgive Frida. Now, she needs to confess this to God. If she doesn't confess it to God, that's God's business. It's not my business. But I need to forgive her. And it isn't even so much for Frida's benefit. Maybe that happens in a secondary way, but it's for my benefit. I forgive you because that sets me free, right? I forgive you because when I don't forgive you, I put myself in bondage. I put myself in chains. What is that story that, you know what, Jesus tells? He tells a story about the servants, right? And the servant who won't forgive, you know, he wants to grab that other servant by the neck, it says. In fact, he does. He grabs him by the neck and he says, pay me what I did. I won't really do it. Pay me what you owe me. That pocket change. Pay me what you owe me, or I'll throw you in jail and have you and your family sold into slavery. Right? And the Bible says that when that happened to that first servant, he was thrown into prison, and the jailer and whoever was there tormented him. And that's what it is. When we don't, if you want to understand what I'm trying to say, this is it, okay? Well, tune in. When we don't forgive, we put ourselves in a place where we can be tormented by the jailer. When we refuse to give grace to that person who's hurt us or who has sinned against us or who has even victimized us, we put our hands, we put ourselves, we put our lives into the hands of the jailer, into the one who holds the keys to hell, to the one who keeps us in that prison. And you are not free. You hear me? You are not free until you release that person to God. As long as you harbor that bitterness and that anger and that resentment and that unforgiveness, and we've all been there before, because honestly, we've all got reason. We've all got a story. We've all got someone in our lives who did something awful to us. But until you let that person go, and I know it seems like this can't be the truth, but it really is the truth. And until you do that, you're not free. And your prayers, I believe your prayers are muddled in the ears of God. Here's the thing. The Bible says that lack of forgiveness in our lives is just a way to strengthen the enemy and his attack in our lives. And I'll give you a couple of scriptures on this. And let me say it again. The more we practice unforgiveness, or the more we hold back on giving that grace to other people, the more Satan has authority in our lives. We give him authority. It's like we're playing in his home field when we do this, okay? It's like we're playing in his home. He gets home field advantage when my heart is filled with a grudge or with unforgiveness. I'm going to give you a couple of examples. There's a story in Corinthians where one guy was a terrible sinner in a church. And we don't need to get all the details, but what happened was he was sleeping with his mother. He was in an incestuous relationship. He gets booted out of the church. He's excommunicated. And then in the next chapter, Paul writes to the Corinthians and he says, okay, but now this guy has repented and he's turned from his wicked ways and it's time that you restore him. And this is what Paul writes. He says, and this is in, if you want to look it up later, 2 Corinthians 2. Paul says, the reason I wrote to you is to see that you would stand the test and be obedient in everything. I urge you, therefore, to reaffirm your love for him. If you forgive anyone, I also forgive him. And what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake. Now hear this. In order that Satan may not or might not outwit us, that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. We are not unaware of his schemes. You get it? When you don't forgive, when we don't restore that person, when we don't show grace to that individual, when we don't make that phone call and say, you know what, all that stuff you did to me, I forgive. I forgive you for this. Then we give Satan a foothold. And he says here, we know Satan's schemes. He's a schemer. He will outwit us. He will outwit us because we think, here's what we think. We think, you know what, I got every right not to forgive you. And my psychologist tells me that I'm right on this. I don't need to forgive you. It's not what I did to you. It's what you did to me. I'm the victim. But what Jesus says is, if you don't forgive, I don't forgive you. And I don't know. I can't think of a stronger way that Jesus could say that. If you don't forgive, you can't even forgive yourself, let alone forgive that person who wronged you. And so get this, that the reason, at least one of the reasons why this is so important, is that when we don't practice forgiveness, Satan has more power, and we give him authority. We put him back into our lives and give him authority that he should never have. And it's what Paul says here. He says he wants to outwit us, and you need to forgive this man, Paul says. Forgive him because we know the schemes of the enemy. Here's another passage in Ephesians chapter 4. Paul says this, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin, and do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. In other words, when we're angry, when we're bitter, when we nurse that grudge against that person who did such terrible things to us, and believe me, I'm not trying to belittle that stuff. I know how real that is. I know how hard that is. But when we do that, we give Satan a place back in our lives again. We're playing on his home turf again. We're speaking his language. And the Bible says that Satan uses it to get a foothold into our lives. Do you realize Satan wants... He wants leverage. He wants to elevate in your life. He wants to be bigger in your life. He's looking for a foothold in your life and in my life. And when we refuse to forgive other people, we give him just that. Are you getting that? We give him just that. He gets a foothold. And when there's another one, be careful. He wants another foothold. He's climbing the mountain of our lives. He wants to own every part of us. He wants us back. Do you get that? He wants you back. But Jesus Christ has paid for your sins with his blood. We are children of grace. Amen? Yeah. We're children of grace. We're children of grace. And that grace isn't just something you get to receive. You need to give it to. And when we don't do it, when we don't give that grace, when we think we have a right not to forgive, when we think it's ours to hold a grudge, well, he just keeps stepping up the ladder in our lives and taking more and more possession of us. Honestly, think about this. What's the difference with those of us who are believers? What's the real difference between us and anyone else? Isn't it that we're forgiven? I mean, that's, frankly, that's the main difference. I have received the grace of God. I just took it. It was a gift. He said, here, believe it. Rick, Mick, here, take it. I've received forgiveness. That's the only difference. I have Christ in my life. And when I refuse to forgive, I'm just right back on that east gate of Eden again. Right? I'm just back in that east gate of Eden getting kicked out again, living in the way of unforgiveness. Living in the way of bearing grudges and bitterness. All right. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. It's hard. And I knew coming here today, this is a hard message. And I know that there's lots of things that have gone on in all of our lives. There's lots of pain and hurt. And this is one of those subjects we don't even want to think about. And probably for some of you, you've been putting this out of your mind for an awful long time. But I want you to know today that just putting something out of your mind doesn't mean you've forgiven somebody. Just because you don't think about it anymore doesn't mean it's not there. Just because you buried it doesn't mean it's gone. And so the hard question today, and I know this is a hard question, the hard question is, who do you need to forgive? Who do you need to forgive? There's a story in Daniel, I think it's in Daniel chapter 11, where the angel Gabriel comes to Daniel and he says, you prayed something 21 days ago, and the answer came 21 days ago, Daniel. The answer came immediately when you prayed, but it took 21 days for the answer to get back to you because Satan, in fact, it calls him the prince of darkness, was withholding that prayer from returning to you. And I wonder whether that isn't true in our lives, that some of the prayers aren't coming back. We're not getting the answers. We're not receiving the healing because that unforgiveness has been such a blockage in our lives. And we've put ourselves back in the hands of an enemy who only wants to steal and kill and destroy. And there's prayers that we have brought to God, and we're waiting for God to do something. And God says, what I want to do here is I want you to forgive. I want you to show grace. So who is it? I know, hard question. Who is it that's hurt you? Who is it that occupies those wee hours of the morning when you're laying there and you're thinking about ways of causing harm, ways of causing injury? Who is that person? Who is it? Who is it that abused you? Who is it that raped you? Maybe it's a daughter-in-law who just told all kinds of lies about you and caused a lot of destruction in the family. Who is it that you need to forgive? Who is it that God is laying on your heart right now? There's so many ways that we've been hurt. So many ways that people have let us down or sometimes just done willful things that are awful to us. I think God would ask the question today, well, who is it today? Who do you need to release so that you can be free? Because it's time to get out of the hands of the jailer. It's time to get out of the hands of the tormentor. Amen? Maybe it was a teacher who bullied you or who mocked you. Maybe it was a dad. Today's Father's Day. That's hard for some people. Maybe it was a father who just never was there for you. Or a mother who was so high all the time that she never mothered you. She had nothing to do with you. I don't know who it is. And I don't know what pain you still carry around. But I do know this. It's our human nature to nurse it and to keep that grudge going. Someone called it a coal earlier. I thought that was pretty cool. It's like a coal. It's like a coal. We just keep blowing on it. That hurt, we nurse it. That bitterness, that anger, we nurse it. We want to keep it glowing. We want to keep it warm. It's just time to let it go. It's time. Even you can look this up if you want to, you can Google it, but the health professionals will tell you that when you nurse a grudge or when you're filled with unforgiveness, that your body doesn't heal. It really doesn't heal like it's supposed to, that it hinders the healing greatly. And it really affects your immune system. It affects you in terms of viruses and diseases, that those things, like we said last week, we are holistic. We're body, soul, and spirit. When you are not forgiving and you're expecting to be healed, maybe it's because of the physical, or maybe it's because of the lack of forgiveness in your life. Doctors, nurses, the health professionals will tell you that those things are connected. There are studies that have been made on people who are bitter and who are hard-hearted that they get sick and they die sometimes. It's just true. So who is it? It's time to set that person free so that you can be free. It's time. I'm going to pray today, and what I want today is I'm going to ask you, because I think some of you are going, well, maybe I have forgiven. Well, then let me ask you this question. That's a good question. Have you forgiven that individual? I think I've forgiven them. Well, do you still nurse a grudge against them? Is that person still renting some space up here in your mind and in your memory? If I told you that that individual came to me this week, the person who hurt you, that person came to me and said, I've accepted Christ as my Savior, would you rejoice in that, or would you go, I don't want to hear that guy's name again? Right? Because that's the guy who made me lose my house. That's the guy who took my kids away. That's the guy I hate. Well, that's the guy that's holding you hostage. And here's what I want to do today, because I don't think we can always pray ourselves. I want to pray for you. So here's the deal. It's like this, make the deal. There's door 1, 2, and 3. Here's the deal. I want to pray for you. And if God is laying someone on your heart this morning, someone keeps coming up, you keep going, oh, that person. I don't want to think about that person. I've been trying not to think about that person. Now that guy keeps reminding me of that person. I want to ask you to come up, and I will pray for you. You can't pray for that person. Let me pray for that person. And let's set that person free from your life so that you can be free from the grip of the enemy. The grip of the enemy. Let's bow our heads. Just close your eyes. God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, we want to be set free. I believe your word is so clear that until we do this, we're not going to hear you clearly. And more importantly, you're not going to hear us until we get ourselves washed from this, until we get ourselves released from this. And we admit today that we find ourselves sometimes still in the hands of the jailer, still tormented by an enemy who's trying to gain leverage in our lives and trying to get a foothold. And we know, Lord, that he wants to outwit us, and we know about his schemes. So God, today, right now, I pray that your Holy Spirit would work right at this moment. God, right now, just show us, Lord. Show us how we're still harboring that grudge, how we're still nursing that anger, how we're still walking around indignant, thinking that we're all right and wanting that guy just to go to hell. Lord, we need you to cleanse us of that. I'm asking you now, Jesus, in the power of your Spirit and the cleansing work of your blood, to do what needs to be done here. And Lord, it may be completely impossible for us at this moment to even pray for her or to even mention his name again. And we admit that we've been trying to forget that name for a long time. And we bring it to you, though, God. We bring it to you and ask you to lift it off and to set us free. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm not going to ask you any stories today. I'm not even going to ask you for the person's name. That's between you and them, or that's between you and God. But I want to conclude today, and Al, maybe you'll go on the piano. We got that song up there about, you know what's the next one. Sorry. Healing Rain. There you go. So if you want to pray for that, I want to pray for you for that. I want to pray that God will set you free. And maybe you can't pray that for that individual. Well, we're going to pray together for that. So come on up right now, anyone who has that. You feel convicted by the word, come right now. Thank you. Amen. That's being honest. There's someone that's still harboring. He's still taking a place. He's taking a part in our hearts. Thank you, God. It's time, right? It's time to be set free. Hallelujah. Amen. Good point. It can be, you know what? That's a good one, Alvin. It can be an organization. It can be a church. Maybe you were hurt by a church or a pastor. Maybe you're hurt by a board. I don't know. You know what? We're hurt by lots of things. Come on up. You don't need to hesitate. You don't need to be afraid. You're already in the minority. You're already in the minority. We're going to ask God to take that name, take that person, take that ex-wife, take that husband who was a scumbag, whatever. It doesn't matter. Take him out of our thoughts. Take him, Lord. Anyone else want to come? Come now. Because God, we come before you right now, and we completely confess that we have that tendency to hold these things in our hearts, God. We want to be released from it, Jesus. And there's tears that are flowing because I believe, God, that the power of your Holy Spirit is moving right now, God. And you want to break down that grudge. You want to break down that bitterness. You tell us, Lord, that we should not allow any bitter root, no bitter root, to be in our hearts or in our lives. So, God, right now, we come to you. And, Lord, I don't know the names of these people, but you do, God. You know it so well. So, Lord, we forgive them. We forgive them, God, with the grace that you give us. We choose today. We know that forgiveness isn't a feeling. And we don't feel like doing this right now. But that's not what forgiveness is. It's not a feeling. It's an act of obedience. It's an action. So we choose right now, in Jesus' name, to forgive him. And to let her go. In Jesus' name. Lord, just, we want freedom. We want to be alive. We want to be free. We want our prayers to reach the ears of our Father in heaven, clear and unadulterated and unmuddled. And so we confess, God. These are people that we don't even like. Honestly, Jesus, you know that. We don't like them. We don't like what they've done. But we choose to love them right now. And we love them enough. We love them enough to just show the grace. And we ask you now, God, to deal with this. We release him to you forever. We release her to you, Jesus. This person doesn't belong to us anymore. And we don't carry that weight and that grudge anymore. We leave it in your good hands, Heavenly Father. Thank you, God. Thank you that I can just feel the freedom, God. I can sense that your spirit is moving and you're doing a healing work in our lives. And we know, God, that it's always your desire to clean up our hearts first. So we invite you to do that. Just keep doing it, God. In Jesus' name, go ahead, Al. Thank you.
Healing rain is coming down.
Thank you.
It's coming closer to the lost and found. And tears of joy and tears of shame are washed forever. So let it fall and take us higher. Healing rain, no, I'm not afraid to be washed in heaven's rain.
Thank you, Jesus.
So lift your heads, let us return to the mercy seat where time began. And in your eyes I see the pain. Come soak this dry heart with healing rain. 'Cause only you, the Son of Man, can take a leper and stand. Lift your hands, they can be held by someone greater than great I am.
Sorry.
Healing rain, it comes with fire, so let it fall and take us higher. Healing rain, I'm not afraid to be washed, heaven trained. Healing rain is coming down, it's coming nearer to this old town. And rich or poor, and weak or strong, it's bringing mercy, and it won't be long. Healing rain is coming down, it's coming closer to the lost and found. And tears of joy and tears of shame are washed forever. Heaven's name. Healing rain comes with fire, so let it fall and take us higher. Healing rain, I'm not afraid to be lost. Heaven's rain.
Lost that.
Healing rain is falling down, healing rain keeps falling down, but I'm not afraid, no, I'm not afraid of healing rain is falling down, healing rain keeps falling down, but I'm not afraid, no, I'm not afraid of healing rain.
Amen. Let God set you free. Let God clean out your hearts. He says, so when you stand there and you hold a grudge against someone, forgive them. That's it.
Amen.
Just forgive them. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause His face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you. May God give you that forgiving peace.
Amen.
Amen.